This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Monday, January 30th, 2017. Coming up this hour.
Lawmakers in Congress say they'll move to stop President Trump's executive order on immigration.
The White House vigorously defends restrictions on travel from seven mostly Muslim countries despite nationwide protests.
Stocks decline worldwide as traders weigh the impact of Trump's move on geopolitical and international trade.
And prominent CEOs and investors weigh in, showing signs they'll push back against the president's action.
I'm John Stashower in sports. A long game for the Knicks. They lost in Atlanta in four overtimes. St. John's lost. Metropolitan Division won the NHL All-Star Game. The AFC took the Pro Bowl.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak being brought to you by the ERP certification. Fuel your team's mastery of physical and financial energy markets with ERP certification, the only globally recognized designation for energy risk professionals. Learn more at garp.org/ERP.
5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning are lower. S&P E-mini futures down 6 points, Dow futures down 44, NASDAQ futures down 17. The DAX in Germany is down 0.8%, CAC in Paris down 1%, and the FTSE 100 down 0.9%. Nikkei 225 in Japan down 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.49%, the yield on the 2-year 1.21%. NYMEX crude oil little changed at $53.16 a barrel. COMEX gold also little changed, down 20 cents to $11.90 an ounce. The euro, $1.0695. The yen, 114.71.
Reaction has been pouring in since President Donald Trump's executive order Friday, halting entry to the U.S. from seven predominantly Muslim countries. And let's bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr for the latest. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, John. Several Democratic congressional lawmakers say they will introduce legislation to stop the Trump administration's temporary order banning travelers from seven countries. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York spoke at a protest at Manhattan's Battery Park.
I will not rest until these horrible orders are repealed.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says while it's a good idea to tighten the vetting process to enter the U.S., he told ABC's This Week, we need to remember some of our best allies are Muslim.
We need to be careful. We don't have religious tests in this country.
The White House is vigorously defending the immigration restrictions despite protests nationwide. The administration does appear to have walked back how the order would apply to certain groups, such as legal permanent U.S. residents. Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly says the green card holders from the predominantly Muslim Middle East countries covered by the executive order won't be stopped from returning to the U.S. Judges blocked parts of the president's travel ban that involved the seven countries, Iran, Iraq, Syria, Libya, Sudan, Yemen, and Somalia. And now jihadist groups celebrated the travel ban, saying the new policies validate their claim that the U.S. is at war with Islam. John, Karen?
All right, Michael Barr, thank you. We'll be checking in with you throughout the morning. Investors around the world are digesting the implication of President Trump's executive order and the fallout that may ensue. Bloomberg's Neera Chahich joins us live with the details from our London bureau. Good morning, Neera.
Good morning, Karen, John. We've certainly seen some shift in the markets as investors digest the implications of President Trump's travel ban. In the Asian session, we were seeing classic risk aversion, money moving out of equities and the dollar and into bonds and gold. That has changed slightly in the European session. The Bloomberg dollar index pretty much unchanged right now, along with the 10-year Treasury yield. And yields in Europe actually moving higher. Germany's 10-year Bund yield up 2 basis points. In the UK, the 10-year gilt yield up 2 basis points as well. And we're seeing yields move higher in the periphery too. So money moving out of those bonds. However, the safe haven yen is still stronger against the dollar. If we take a look at commodity markets, so money was moving into gold, another safe haven initially. That is now down 0.2%. Where we are still seeing the risk aversion, though, is in equity markets. U.S. futures pointing lower, but also if we look at the Stock 600 in Europe, that's down some 0.9%, with pretty much every industry group heading lower. The biggest laggards are financials and oil and gas companies. So risk aversion still very much present in these equity markets. Neera Chahich, Bloomberg Daybreak, London.
Neera, thank you. Business leaders around the world are weighing in on the president's executive order on immigration. Bloomberg's Courtney Donahoe has that story.
Trump's move was met with alarm from executives at some of the largest U.S. companies, including General Electric, Google, and Microsoft. Google CEO Sundar Pichai, who is an immigrant from India, called the policy painful. Microsoft chief executive Satya Nadella took to LinkedIn to highlight the positive impact that immigration has had on the U.S. and the world. Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz announced plans to hire 10,000 refugees over the next 5 years. Tesla executive Elon Musk called the ban on immigrants not the best way to address the country's challenges. And Twitter feeds were awash over the weekend with reminders that Apple co-founder Steve Jobs was himself the son of a Syrian immigrant. Courtney Donahoe, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Courtney. Warren Buffett is also making it clear that he's not in President Trump's camp when it comes to immigration. He spoke with Charlie Rose on Friday.
This country has been built blessed by immigrants, and you can take them from any country you want, and they've come here and they've found something that unleashed the potential that the place where they left did not, and we're the product of it.
Buffett was also joined by Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates, who called human talent the most important import in U.S. history.
It's been to our benefit that a lot of the hardest working, best and brightest from almost every country in the world have wanted to come to the U.S.
And President Trump's next move on immigration is set to hit Silicon Valley especially hard. His administration has drafted an executive order aimed at overhauling the work visa programs technology companies use to hire tens of thousands of employees each year. Futures this morning moving lower with S&P E-mini futures down 6 points, Dow E-mini futures down 45, and NASDAQ E-mini futures down 18. The 10-year Treasury is down 1/32nd, the yield 2.49%, and NYMEX crude oil at $53.08 a barrel. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world now. We bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. President Donald Trump is defending his order to halt the Syrian refugee program and temporarily suspend immigration from 7 majority Muslim countries. He says it's to protect U.S. citizens and the border and insists it's not a Muslim ban. The president says the U.S. will resume issuing visas to all countries impacted after a review of security policies. Nevertheless, protests against the ban continue across the country. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York.
This order makes lone wolves more likely, not less.
Jihadist groups say the new travel ban validates their claim that the United States is at war with Islam. Meanwhile, Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly said green card holders from the countries covered in the travel ban won't be stopped from returning to the U.S. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is calling a shooting at a Quebec City mosque a terrorist attack on Muslims. Trudeau says in a statement that it is heart-wrenching to see such senseless violence, and he's vowing that Canadian law enforcement will make every effort to apprehend the perpetrators of this act and all acts of intolerance. Police say 6 people were killed and 8 wounded at the Quebec City Islamic Cultural Center yesterday. In France, hard-left politician Benoît Hamon is the socialist candidate for the president in this year's elections. Bloomberg's Caroline Conan has more from Paris.
He'll now have to unite the socialists. That's not going to be an easy task, given Hamon's hard line on the left of the party, with proposals including the creation of a basic minimum wage for every French citizen. Some members of parliament closer to the center could instead choose to rally Emmanuel Macron over the next few days. Caroline Conan, Bloomberg Daybreak, Paris.
The African Union will convene today in Addis Ababa to elect a new leader. Bloomberg's Paul Richardson has more.
The continental bloc will elect a new leader to replace Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, who is stepping down after 4 years at the helm. Kenyan Foreign Minister Amina Mohamed and Senegalese diplomat Abdoulaye Bathily are among the frontrunners for the position. Whoever takes over inherits a host of issues, including political crises in Congo and Burundi, wars in Somalia and South Sudan, and continuing Islamist militant attacks across the continent. Paul Richardson, Bloomberg Daybreak, Nairobi.
Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Thank you, Michael. Coming up on 5:10 of Wall Street. And now with the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, here's John Stashower.
Morning, John. The last time the Knicks were in a four overtime game was 1951. They lost to the Rochester Royals. They lost this one, too. In Atlanta, 142-139. Only the 11th four overtime game in NBA history. Paul Millsap was the hero for the Hawks. 37 points, 19 rebounds, 7 assists. He played 60 minutes. Carmelo Anthony was heroic for the Knicks. 45 points, his driving layup sent the game to the first OT. His baseline jumper forced a second, and then he fouled out, one of four Knicks to do so.
Take this game and build off of it. I mean, guys stepped up. Even when I fouled out, with KP fouled out, guys stepped over time. Courtney stepped up. Brent, guys was ready to play. And this was a total team effort tonight. And you can't question the effort. We was right there.
But the Knicks still have not had back-to-back victories since December 20th and 22nd. College basketball, Villanova won last year's national championship at the buzzer, beat Virginia on a tip-in at the buzzer. St. John's lost to Xavier at the Garden, 82-77. NHL All-Star Game in L.A. won by the Metropolitan Division. The Flyers' Wayne Simmons, the game-winning goal with 5 minutes left. The team was coached by Wayne Gretzky. In Orlando, AFC won the Pro Bowl 20-13. The big NFL news, a new boss for the 49ers, John Lynch, who's a candidate to make the Hall of Fame this week. He's been a broadcaster for Fox. He'll be the Niners GM with Falcons assistant Kyle Shanahan expected to be named coach after Sunday's Super Bowl. 22-year-old John Rahm's first PGA win, the Farmers Insurance at Torrey Pines. He sealed the victory with a 60-foot eagle putt on the final hole. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right. Thanks, John. And we're also getting reaction from the sports world on President Trump's executive order on immigration. Golden State Warriors coach Steve Kerr expressed dismay over the travel restrictions following last night's win over the Portland Trail Blazers. Kerr called the order that bans citizens of seven countries from entering the U.S., in his words, a horrible idea. S&P futures right now, 6 points lower. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak being brought to you by National Realty, managers of New York City cash flow real estate, providing you 12% annualized returns with immediate monthly distributions. See them at NRIA.net.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by SEI. Imagine when asset management servicing is unconstrained by infrastructure. See how SEI's global operating platform can be your catalyst for a business expansion at SEIC.com/imagine. Stocks are declining as traders weigh the impact of Donald Trump's order halting some immigration and ahead of central bank decisions from the U.S. and Japan. Crude oil fell below $53 a barrel. It's now back up above it. Markets in Hong Kong, China, Malaysia, Korea, Singapore, Taiwan, and Vietnam are among those closed for holidays. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. NYMEX crude oil is now at $53.09 a barrel. It did fall earlier below $53. It's down about 0.2% right now, or 8 cents. COMEX gold is little changed at $1,191 an ounce. Futures are lower. S&P futures down 6 points. Dow futures down 43. NASDAQ futures down 18. The DAX in Germany is down 0.8%. The 10-year Treasury little change, yield 2.48%. The euro, $1.0694. The yen, 114.66. We're watching for reports today on personal income and spending out at 8:30 Wall Street time. At 10, it's pending home sales. And Fitbit shares, they're down 5.1% in early trading. The information reporting Fitbit will announce today it's cutting between 5 and 10% of its workforce. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. A police spokeswoman in Quebec City says some of the 8 people wounded and gravely injured after a mosque shooting that left 6 dead are still trying to struggle for life. Authorities say there have been 2 arrests in the attack that happened during evening prayers yesterday. Canada's Prime Minister calls it an act of terrorism. Protests continue against the immigration order issued by President Donald Trump. Meanwhile, the King of Jordan will be having breakfast today with Vice President Mike Pence. King Abdullah is not scheduled to meet with Trump. U.S. officials have not released the names of the American service member killed and three others wounded during a firefight with al-Qaeda militants in Yemen. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right. Thank you, Michael. And it is now 5:20 on Wall Street. Let's get more on the executive order and the travel ban from the Trump administration. We'll go to our London bureau this morning and our first guest, Bloomberg's Matthew Campbell. Matthew, good morning. You write that there's a tricky choice now facing executives. What is that tricky choice?
Well, I think there is a really difficult dilemma for big companies right now in that we have a policy here that is very controversial and inflammatory, to say the least, which was also implemented in a very confusing way. And executives are facing the choice of either speaking out for what they believe and on behalf of employees who may be affected or staying quiet. Now, why would you stay quiet? Well, because there is a president in the White House who does not hesitate to attack individual companies in very forceful terms. And I don't think any CEO craves being on the receiving end of that.
And it certainly doesn't end with this first executive order. Tech companies are now very concerned about what comes next.
That's right. I think we are going to see moves from the Trump administration to look at things like H-1B visas, which are the biggest visa category for technology companies. If you talk to anyone in Silicon Valley, their number one public policy issue is talent. The shortage of skilled engineers, skilled computer scientists in the United States, a domestic workforce, they want to be able to bring in talented people. And that could become more difficult, although depending on how changes are structured, it could also become easier to bring in some of the most skilled workers, while perhaps ones with more moderate skills face greater obstacles.
The objectives behind this presumably are to preserve American jobs. Does it do that?
Well, look, in terms of what we may see from visas, I think we heard from Donald Trump, America first, America always. But one thing to consider is that this R&D, these product development efforts are going to happen somewhere. That somewhere does not necessarily have to be the United States. We've seen, for example, the Canadian technology industry making a very coordinated play for positions, for operations that cannot take place in the United States due to immigration rules, and saying, come to Vancouver, come to Toronto, we'll give you whatever visas you need.
So there are other countries that are taking advantage of this, if you want to put it that way.
Absolutely. The tech industry is growing. There is a bare minimum of R&D that has to occur. Every large tech company is a global tech company, and they are very comfortable doing these operations elsewhere, whether that's in London, in Sydney, in Berlin, or in Canada.
We haven't mentioned student visas. We hear about that all the time on the program. Is that something that is going to be addressed next, perhaps by the Trump administration?
Well, in the draft executive order that is going around, though again I would stress this is a draft, so we don't know what's going to happen, there is some discussion that something called OPT, which is a measure whereby if you attend an American university, you then get a year or two afterward in which you can work and then perhaps apply for a different visa and stay, could be curtailed in some way. That is something that will certainly be opposed by universities. Education is an important export industry for the United States. And also opposed by big employers, whether that is the banks or tech companies who do rely on foreign students to fill the ranks.
We heard earlier from Chuck Schumer that he promised to repeal these executive orders. Remind us the process by which this takes place. Can they be repealed? Can they be repealed easily?
Well, ultimately, you don't need to be a constitutional law professor to know that in the United States, what matters is legislation. Executive orders are important, and the president has broad prerogatives. But in the end, when Congress passes a law, that is what really counts, and that is what can stay in place for a much longer period of time. So if Congress would like to pass legislation that overrides or opposes some of these executive orders, that is, of course, their prerogative. but the president has to sign that legislation. So then we're in the realm of veto-proof or looking for veto-proof majorities in the Senate. So I think it is a fairly unlikely scenario that we would see legislation from a Congress that is, after all, controlled by the same party as the White House that would meaningfully go against what we've seen coming from the executive order.
All right, bottom line for us, investors hate uncertainty, and it looks like there's more uncertainty ahead. Bloomberg's Matthew Campbell joining us from our London bureau this morning. Ahead of the market open on Wall Street, S&P futures are 6 points lower. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Bentley University. What do rebooting America's oldest ski shop and crunching numbers at Vistaprint have in common? An MBA from Bentley University that prepares graduates to innovate and lead, because business is everywhere. Prepare here.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1200. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak being brought to you by Commonwealth Financial Network. When it's time to change the conversation, talk with a broker-dealer RIA that's ready to listen. Call 866-462-3638 or visit commonwealth.com to learn more.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Controversy continues to swirl around President Donald Trump's executive order on immigration as various legal challenges play out around the country. We'll bring you all the latest details throughout the morning.
But first, Toyota has lost its title as the best-selling automaker to Volkswagen. VW sold a record 10.3 million vehicles last year. Toyota sold about 10.2 million. And booming sales in China helped VW offset losses due to the diesel emissions scandal.
Sony says it'll take a $1 billion write-down on its movie business after reviewing the profitability of the division. This comes 2 weeks after the announcement that Sony Entertainment CEO Michael Lynton would be stepping down after 13 years. The company will sell shares in Medical Web Service to offset some of the loss.
According to people familiar with the matter, Saudi Aramco is weighing as much as $5 billion of investments in renewable energy. Banks including HSBC, JP Morgan, and Credit Suisse have been invited to pitch for a role identifying acquisition targets and advising on deals.
Here in the U.S., it'll be a busy week for economic indicators, including Friday's release of the monthly employment report, Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
In 2016, job growth topped 2 million for the sixth year in a row, and economists say that strength is likely to persist into 2017. January job growth is forecast at about 170,000, more than December. Unemployment, meantime, is seen remaining below 5% for the ninth month in a row. Also on the calendar this week, income and spending, the ISM factory survey, consumer confidence, and productivity. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinny. And Swiss drug maker Novartis is pushing ahead with one of its most ambitious cancer therapies. The company says it has the potential to be a blockbuster. Novartis is extracting immune cells and genetically engineering them to kill cancer cells before returning them to the patient's body.
Futures this morning are lower. S&P E-mini futures down 6 points. Dow E-mini futures down 41. And NASDAQ E-mini futures down 17. The DAX in Germany is down 0.8%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 2.48%. NYMEX crude oil is little changed at $53.18 a barrel. And COMEX gold, also little changed, up 80 cents, less than a tenth of a percent, to $11.91.90 an ounce. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And it's 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. Once again, here's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. The White House is calling President Donald Trump's immigration restrictions a massive success story, but there have been protests at airports across the country since Trump imposed temporary travel bans on people from seven Muslim-majority countries. The countries are Iran, Iraq, Syria, Libya, Sudan, Yemen, and Somalia. On ABC's This Week, White House spokesman Sean Spicer says there are several predominantly Muslim countries that are not among the seven countries in the travel ban.
This really comes down to 109 people who are all being processed through the system to make sure that they, when they've gone out of the country, gone somewhere that is one of those seven countries, and coming back, that they've done so and not tried to go there and do anything that would cause our nation harm.
Several Democrats in Congress said they would be introducing legislation to stop the ban. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York spoke at a demonstration in Manhattan's Battery Park against the ban.
President Trump's executive order is a mark of shame for this country. It makes us less safe. It's an absolute moral and ethical failure.
Jihadist groups say the travel ban validates their claim that the U.S. is at war with Islam. Authorities in Quebec City say they've arrested two suspects after a shooting at a mosque that left six people dead and eight others wounded. Canada's prime minister is calling yesterday's attack an act of terrorism. The president of the Quebec City Islamic Cultural Center says the attack happened in the men's section of the mosque and that more than 50 people were inside at the time. Quebec Premier Philippe Couillard says there will be solidarity rallies across Quebec today.
We are with you. This is your home. You're welcome here. We are all Quebecers.
President Donald Trump could nominate a Supreme Court justice as early as today. The front runners are Federal Appeals Court judges William Pryor, Neil Gorsuch, and Thomas Hardiman. One seat on the high court has been vacant since the death of Justice Antonin Scalia last year. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, thank you, Michael. Coming up on 5:36 on Wall Street. Now with the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, here's John Stashower.
John Paul Millsap called it a game that was fun, but one that he never wants to play in again. In Atlanta, the Hawks and Knicks played four overtimes, only the 11th time that's happened in NBA history. The Hawks won 142-139 with Millsap playing 60 of a possible 68 minutes. He scored 37 points at the go-ahead basket. Carmelo Anthony was brilliant in defeat, 45 points, but he fouled out late in the second OT.
It was difficult. I mean, those were the overtimes where you got to dig deep. You're exhausted, everything in the tank. You got to find something from somewhere. But to not be out there that last, overtime was, a little difficult to watch, especially knowing, the flow of the game, how was it going. That was a moment that I would have loved to be out there.
One of four Knicks to foul out, and they were already without Derrick Rose, who may miss a few more games with a bad ankle. Courtney Lee hit a three-pointer that forced a third overtime. He nearly forced a fifth overtime, but Lee missed an open three. At the Garden, St. John's beaten by Xavier, 82-77. Freshman Shamori Pond scored 23 for the Red Storm. Villanova, ranked number one for now, will likely drop after a loss earlier in the week. Nova trailed Virginia by 12 with 10 minutes left and rallied to win, 61-59. A tip-in at the buzzer by Dante DiVincenzo, his only basket of the day. And New Rochelle, Iona beat St. Peter's in overtime. Sam Cassell Jr., 17 points for the Gales. John Tortorella couldn't coach the NHL All-Star game because of an ailing dog. Wayne Gretzky filled in. His team, the Metropolitan Division, won in L.A. The Flyers' Wayne Simmons, the game-winning goal and the MVP. The AFC won the Pro Bowl in Orlando 20-13. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, thanks, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. Let's check in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Morning, Ed.
Hey, John. New York City has awarded contracts to 11 organizations to provide 550 supportive housing units. Mayor Bill de Blasio says it's part of his supportive housing initiative to create 15,000 units over the next 15 years. The contracts have been awarded to organizations with broad experience addressing the issues faced by homeless New Yorkers. Special Olympics New Jersey has received more than $200,000 from the State Department of Community Affairs for programs for athletes. The grants are to increase the availability of training and athletic competition for individuals with disabilities. The Wheelchair Sports Council of New Jersey will also get $20,000 to provide resources for training and competition. Barclays has initiated coverage of Stanley Black & Decker with a recommendation of overweight. Analyst Robert Wertheimer predicts shares of the New Britain-based toolmaker will trade at $140 within a year. The shares rose 0.7% in the past session to $125.03. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. John?
Tang said. Well, it's a very busy week ahead for Wall Street with plenty of earnings results to digest. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett tells us more.
About a third of S&P 500 companies have reported results so far, with 68% beating estimates, according to data compiled by Bloomberg. David Lefkowitz is equity strategist at UBS Financial Services.
We're going to continue to see a reacceleration in earnings growth. The headwinds from the energy CapEx crunch are now beginning to fade. Certainly, we're seeing that from the industrial activity. Putting it all together, earnings look like they're on pace to grow 6 to 8% here in the fourth quarter. For 2017, that probably accelerates a bit. Energy, which had been the energy sector, which had been a big headwind, is going to turn into a bit of a tailwind.
Among the technology giants scheduled to report earnings this week, Amazon, Apple, Facebook, and Sony. Other companies reporting include Daimler, Deutsche Bank, Royal Dutch Shell, and Siemens. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. Now let's check in with our Bloomberg affiliate radio stations to find out what commuters are hearing all around the world this morning.
I'm Steve Podesk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, I'm talking about Sony taking a big write-down on its movie business.
I'm Adrian Mitchell, and on WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting on Delta's computer problems just a few days after a similar glitch at United.
I'm Caroline Hepker. On Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London, we're following Prime Minister Theresa May as she heads to Cardiff for Brexit talks with the leaders of Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland.
I'm Patrice Sikora, and for WLW in Cincinnati, I'm reporting Procter & Gamble's new Super Bowl commercial stars Mr. Clean as a domestic sex symbol.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. I'm reporting how Ford told the president that fuel economy rules that don't align with market reality risk 1 million jobs.
And right now we have S&P futures 6 points lower. The Dow futures down 44. NASDAQ E-mini futures ahead of the market open on Wall Street. Down 17 points as we take a look at the dollar right now against the euro, 106.94. The yen, 114.62. The yield in the U.S. on the benchmark 10-year, 2.47%. Bloomberg Daybreak, being brought to you by Willoughby since 1898, New York City's boutique camera store for precision-crafted Hasselblad and Leica cameras. Plus, a full selection of GoPro action-adventure cameras. Willoughby's, corner of 5th Avenue at 31st.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks declining as traders weigh the impact of Donald Trump's order halting some immigration and ahead of central bank decisions from the U.S. and Japan. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P E-mini futures down 6 points. Dow E-mini futures down 43. NASDAQ E-mini futures down 17. The DAX in Germany is down 0.8%. So is the FTSE 100. The CAC in Paris down almost 0.9%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.47%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.21%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 13 cents to $53.30 a barrel. COMEX gold up about 0.2% or $1.80 to $11.92.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.0695, and the yen, 114.59. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the White House is vigorously defending President Donald Trump's immigration restrictions on 7 predominantly Muslim countries, calling them a massive success story, and even claimed they had been done seamlessly with extraordinary professionalism. But even some congressional Republicans are publicly opposing the temporary ban. Several Democrats say they will introduce legislation to stop it. 6 people are dead and 8 others are wounded after a shooting in a mosque in the provincial capital of Quebec. A Quebec City Police spokesman says 2 suspects have been arrested. In sports in the NBA, it took 4 overtimes before the Knicks fell to the Hawks 142-139. The Wizards and the Warriors were winners. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Thank you, Michael. Now it's time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. The Bloomberg Law Brief, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Today, Bloomberg Law hosts June Grasso and Michael Best discuss the conviction of former Jefferies bond trader Jesse Litvak, who was found guilty of just one of 10 counts of fraud on Friday. They speak with Robert Hockett, professor at Cornell University Law School.
Bob, is this a surprising verdict? Only one out of 10 counts?
I don't think it's all that surprising. I think what would have been truly surprising would have been if he had been found guilty on none of the counts. I think that the thought was probably along the lines that what one conviction or one count is enough. The rest, in theory, could be considered gilding the lily.
They all sort of went to the same type of behavior, that is not telling the truth and it being fraud on what the price he paid for bonds was when he was selling them to other people. So what distinction could the jury have drawn here between the count that they convicted him of and the nine counts that they acquitted him of?
It's not altogether clear, but my guess would be that the jury was probably focusing especially on the so-called materiality of the misrepresentations. And materiality is a somewhat complex and sort of vaguely contoured concept that's used in cases like this. It embraces, on the one hand, the sort of rationality of a particular customer's allowing the information that he or she is given to influence his or her decision. That's an important part of it. And what that means in turn is that there's at least some relevance played in cases like this in the form of the degree of sophistication of the putative victims or the plaintiffs, right? So another way to put that a little bit more concretely would be to say, if I lied to, on the one hand, a very naive and unsophisticated investor, and then lied, on the other hand, to a very sophisticated and highly skeptical investor, my lie to the first investor would be likely to be found a bit more material than would that to the second investor.
That's Robert Hockett, a professor at Cornell University Law School, speaking with Bloomberg Law hosts June Grasso and Michael Best. You can listen to Bloomberg Law weekdays at 1 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio.
That's this morning's Bloomberg Law Brief. You can find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com for more information. Michael Barr.
Cameron, thank you very much. President Donald Trump's ban on immigration from seven mostly Muslim countries is drawing ire from both sides of the aisle. His executive order restricts travel from Iran, Iraq, Syria, Libya, Sudan, Yemen, and Somalia. Let's dig into the political ramifications of this move now with Brown University political science professor Wendy Schiller, who is joining us on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning.
President Donald Trump said he would do something like this, and he did not waste any time. Critics, and many of them, are saying that he did not think this through. Your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, I just think this is, first, a very strong example of the power of the executive branch. And I think we all sort of realize that the Trump administration and his closest advisors are going to use these powers exactly as they see them. And one of the interesting things is that there's some rumors or what have you that Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of Homeland Security were overruled on this, and that they asked for more time and they asked to sort of think this through, and they were overruled. And so that makes you very nervous. It's one thing to use executive power. It's another when the people that you've appointed to positions of national security are overruled by people who aren't trained in those areas. So that's the sort of governance issue right now, is who's running the government and what do they know. And that's I think the most frightening part of this entire scenario. The second is, of course, of the nature of this ban on people who come from predominantly Muslim countries. And is this a ban on religion? And I think most people are interpreting it as a ban on religion. And I think had they waited, had they explained that there was more vetting going on, that other countries have had terrorist attacks for people who go back and forth to particular countries, I think, I'm not sure they ever would have gotten acceptance for it, but it certainly wouldn't be, I think, what is now a very serious misfire on policy and harming a lot of people who took the U.S. government's word on faith. That's the word of this government. You're a legal permanent resident. Legal permanent resident. You shouldn't be stopped at the border anymore if you have a green card. You can be asked questions. We're all asked questions. What did you do? Where did you go? But the fact that the U.S. will go back on its word, I think that is the fundamental threat, not only to the democracy abroad, but also the democracy within.
A lot of people went to bed Friday night and then woke up Saturday morning, and some of these people were caught in the travel and didn't even realize that the ban was put into effect. It was kind of done almost suddenly and caught a lot of people off guard.
Well, these are people, men, women, children, who have done nothing wrong. And they were told that they would have the opportunity to come to the United States by the United States. And then the United States changed the rules of the game on them for no reason and held them in detention. I mean, this is just, you know, something that is antithetical to what we have in America. I mean, you can be held 24 hours usually without charges. The idea that we would do this, that's what's frightening so many people. That's what's getting people onto the streets. If the executive branch can do it to, quote-unquote, them, they can do it to, quote-unquote, us. And that's what's driving particularly the rallies, particularly a lot of the young people at the rallies. And, you know, thankfully, I think, in my opinion, federal judges have stepped in and said, this part is, you know, we're going to put an injunction on. The other parts, we're not going to put an injunction on. So that's a clarion call to Congress. That's the GOP. Is this their brand? Is this the America they want? And unless they pass a law to overturn an executive order that is not struck down by the courts, it will stand. So this is going to put enormous pressure on the Republican Party, some Republicans in the House, but mostly the ones that are objecting are in the Senate, to do something, to limit or send a signal to the Trump administration there are boundaries that you shouldn't cross. I don't know if that's going to come. I don't know what that point is for the Republican Party. They want to get certain policies passed. They need him to do it. I just don't see them challenging him in any really strange, strong way this early in his term.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said, yes, you need stronger vetting procedures, but at the same time, you have to be careful because there is no test for a religion. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, clearly, if you're putting a ban on countries that are predominantly Muslim and you say you will favor Christian refugees over Muslim refugees, religion is playing a role in your policy. He wouldn't go so far as to say that, but that's pretty obvious. What was most interesting to me about what McConnell said over the weekend was that he said he was not going to change the rules of the Senate. Right now, there is still a filibuster on Supreme Court nominations and still a filibuster against legislation. The Republicans, if they're unified, can change that with 51 votes, just as the Democrats did. But he indicated, at least this weekend, that he wasn't going to try to change that in either of those arenas. And that gives a lot of obstruction power to the senators who might object to Trump's policies.
Wendy, thank you very much. Brown University political science professor Wendy Schiller, who is joining us on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. I'm Michael Barr. Karen?
Thanks, Michael. And futures are moving lower this morning with S&P E-mini futures down 6 points and Dow E-mini futures down 44. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.
This is the Bloomberg BNA Report, legal, tax, and compliance information from the Bloomberg 99.1 Newsroom in Washington. Here's Steve Podisk.
House Speaker Paul Ryan wants quick action on a supplemental spending bill to fund a border wall and provide more money to the Pentagon. He expects the measure to reach Congress this quarter. Attorney General nominee Senator Jeff Sessions reaffirms his support of impartial antitrust enforcement despite President Trump's meetings with corporate leaders tied to pending high-profile mergers. A House panel will consider several bills tied to repealing the Affordable Care Act. They include tighter restrictions on eligibility for Medicaid.
Bloomberg BNA, the leader in providing news, analysis, and proprietary business data that positions legal professionals to best advise their clients. This is Bloomberg.